Thank you. Good morning. Warm welcome to everyone. It's great to see everyone in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. It's great to be here, isn't it? Didn't the Lord make it beautiful this morning? You'd think there'd been a heavy snowfall. It was so beautiful driving down there. But hey, I'd still rather the sun was shining, wouldn't you? Okay, so a big thank you to everyone who was here yesterday polishing and scrubbing and cleaning. As you walked in, you probably smelt the freshness of the everything clean. We had our church clean up yesterday and we had quite a good turnout here. A big thank you to everyone. You did a great job. Thank you so much. Now then, following the service this morning, we'll be having our what we call our mustard seed lunch. And we'll be, instead of the potluck lunch that we normally have, where we have roast beef and Yorkshire puddings and all kinds of stuff, we'll be having soup and crackers and a more frugal fare. But anyway, that's great. And when we have that mustard seed lunch, we'll be having a free will offering, which is just purely to support the mustard seed and the work that they're doing. And we're hoping by the time we do that the Reverend Bill Nixon will be here. He's not here yet. I've already dug out an old sermon in case he doesn't arrive. Grant's already got it all ready to go as well. So we are ready. We are planned. When my friend here gets done with the notices, we'll be doing October birthdays. So if you had a birthday in October or prior to that and we missed it, now is your opportunity. So prepare yourself well. Betty Ann, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. The announcements are in the bulletin for the most part. The ladies' Bible study is at 10 o'clock in the morning on Thursdays. Anyone is welcome to join us in the book of Acts. Remembrance Day is November the 11th, which is a Sunday, and the service here will be at 9 a.m., and the service at the hall is at 10:30. So, for your information and consideration. Another thing to be thinking about is the Christmas nativity scenes. The display will be the 1st of December, Winterfest Day, and the ladies ask you to be thinking of which of your nativity scenes might join the display this year. And a reminder that next Saturday night, the 3rd of November, our clocks turn back 1 hour so that we could all be here at the correct time next week. And the elders' meeting is slated for Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on November the 10th. Now I call on Kathy to bring a few more.
Good morning. I have a couple of things from the ladies' group that I'd like to point out. First of all, Girls' Night Out, as you see in your bulletin, is coming up on November 7th. It's in Airdrie. We have a decent-sized group of ladies coming now, and we have two drivers at the moment that still have some room available. So if you are interested in going, please talk to either me or Sandy so we can make sure we have the right number of spaces available in the vehicles and also the tickets. We'd like to get the tickets ahead of time so there's no mix-up then. Tickets are $5, not very bad, and a fun night with the girls. So come and speak to me. Even if you've already signed up, come and let one of us know just so we can double-check, make sure we've got all the names and numbers we need. The other thing is shoeboxes. There's been some questions about the shoeboxes. So I'd just like to go over this a little bit. We will be packing them here on, I think it's November the 8th. But you can bring, in the meantime, you can bring, what if you want to bring boxes already made, you may do that, and we'll see that they get down where they belong. You can bring just an open bag full of toys or T-shirts or whatever you'd like. Or you can bring a variety of things unpacked, and we'll look after that. Keep in mind that we don't want any war toys or guns, anything like that. It's not really appropriate for these. But you can bring personal hygiene items like toothbrushes, deodorant, combs, that sort of thing. Nothing gel or liquid, so no toothpaste, no candy, no chocolate. unless it's hard candy. You can bring hard candies. But keep in mind, no gels, no liquids, and no war-related themed toys. We emphasize boys, 10 to 14, because that's a group that generally gets not as many. So you can be thinking about T-shirts, flip-flops, caps, ball caps, or hats. Sometimes these things go to cooler climates or high mountain climates, so a toque, gloves, socks are good. What else did I have here? You can be just thinking about that kind of thing, and even a little teddy or a little snuggly of some sort is not a bad idea. Even boys like those in their own way. But remember, it has to fit in a little box. So, you know, try to keep it to a compact size so we can put them in the boxes. And if you're interested in going down with a group to pack these boxes and go through them at Samaritan's Purse in early December, talk to us about that too, and we'll see what we can do. Thanks, everybody. And if you have any other questions, come and speak to me afterwards.
Okay. All right. So any other announcements? You're all done? Okay. Let's celebrate October birthdays or prior to that. And just as we're getting into that, let's remember that tomorrow Alice Frances celebrates her 101st birthday. Tomorrow. So keep Alice in your heart and your prayers, and then sing a little happy birthday to her. In the meantime, we who are a little younger, let's celebrate. Glory to souls, everybody who had a birthday, sweeter as the years go by. Now, this call to worship is geared towards what Bill Nixon's going to talk about, if he gets here. This is not geared to what I will be talking about if he doesn't get here. But nevertheless, Jesus answered, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Oh, wait a minute, we haven't done the silent prayer, have we? I'm all confused. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. And Jesus answered, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Kathy, come on up, and Marion, and lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
So all these choruses were also picked with Mustard Seed in mind, about ways for us to serve, to remind us to be servants, and how God works in our lives. So let's start. Stan, please, we'll start with "Make Me a Servant." We'll sing it through twice.
Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant. Today, let's sing it again. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be,
sing freely, freely. Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give.
Forgive my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you
for worship with He Touched Me, beautiful song, and we hope he's touching the people that serve with Mustard Seed and the people that come there for help.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt,
Bill Nixon I see back there. Whoa, am I glad to see you. Shall we bow our heads in prayer and thank the Lord that Bill Nixon's arrived? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we are so thankful and grateful that each of us are able to be here this day. It is so good, Lord, to be in your house on this your day. And we know, Lord, that each of us will be richly, very richly blessed by being here together in this rich fellowship, one with another, but above all, in a rich fellowship with you. And so at this time of worship, Father, we ask you to open our hearts. We ask you to open our minds. And we pray, Lord, that each of us may have a glimpse of your glory as you speak to us through every different aspect of this time of worship together. We ask you, Father, to accept the praise we bring. We seek to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And we come in the name of Jesus and worship and pray as he taught us to pray, as we say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
If you would join me in the responsive reading, please. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame.
This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is him who takes refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Now we come to our special music, and it's a great joy for us to have our very own Dave Bricker here, who's going to present special music today. I don't know what he's going to sing. He wouldn't tell me. That's why he wouldn't tell me. That was great, David. We really do appreciate that, and Iris and I especially appreciate it. Thank you so much. Your gifts now for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your grace and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we present these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, gracious Lord, to accept these gifts, and we ask you to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Bill, can't we persuade you to find a seat? How's your black eye coming on? Still got a little bit? So it's good to see you all. Now listen, I'm going to ask Grant to put a picture on the screen. Okay, not that one. He's going to put a picture on the screen. And when it comes up, I want you to look at it. And I want you to see if you can decipher what it is a picture of. Okay, so if we'll ask Grant if he can put that picture up there now. You think it's a heart? You think it's a... Luke, you think it's an eye? Luke thinks it's a heart with an eye in it. Why can't we see it properly? What's wrong with it? It's fuzzy, isn't it? It's all blurry. It's what we call out of focus. Yep. Now then, if we could get Grant to get it focused for us, we would be able to work out what it was, wouldn't we? So let's just see if anybody was right. We'll ask Grant if he can focus it for us. Yeah! It's a heart with an eye inside of it. Okay? A heart with an eye inside of it. So, if we get things in focus, we can see what they are. That's what it is. Now then. That's right, it's an eyeball in the middle of a heart. Isn't that funny? There's what in there?
Letters.
Letters. Oh, that's okay. Pretend they're not there. They've got nothing to do with the story, okay? Now then, there's a story in the Bible about a man called Bartimaeus. And there was something peculiar about this man. He was what? He was blind. Blind Bartimaeus. He was blind, but he could see Jesus. How do you think that could be? Well, he couldn't see Jesus with his eyes. He could see him with his heart. You got it. He could see Jesus with his heart. He knew Jesus was there. He loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. And so they could see each other. Now, there's lots of people here today who can't see Jesus with their eyes, but they can see Jesus with their hearts, okay? But to do this, we've got to get things in focus. We've got to be focused on Jesus. We've got to think about Jesus and love Jesus. And we can see him with our hearts. And that's how we know Jesus is with us. We can see him with our hearts, okay? And that's what I want you to remember today. Now then, there's a little hymn that we sing sometimes. It's a song, really. And it's got a chorus in it about seeing Jesus with your heart. And this is what it is. Okay? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Now then, that's our prayer this morning. So we're going to put our hands together. We're going to keep our eyes open because we're going to look at the screen. And we're going to pray this prayer together. All together, okay? Now, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Time for Sunday school. And we stand and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn number 8, Praise to the Lord, the King of Creation, the King of Heaven. Thank you. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, as we come once again into your awesome presence, we come with our heads bowed in humility, and we acknowledge that you, Lord, have the power to do all things. We thank you, Father, for this world, which you designed and created through your Son and our Saviour Jesus. This world, Lord, that you alone control. Sometimes, Father, it is hard for us to comprehend that you, who created and control all things, you who have total power, you who are mighty and majestic, our Lord and our God, you, Lord, who are all of these things, yet when we cry out to you, you stop, Lord, and you listen. And you ask us, what do you want me to do for you? We thank you, Father, that you care for all of your creation, and that you especially care for each one of us. And Lord, sometimes it is hard for us to understand with our finite minds many of those things that are to do with you. We so often think that we know so much, yet in reality, Father, we know so little. Forgive us, Lord, increase our faith that we might have fuller belief in those things that we do not understand. like your immense power, like your great love for us, like our Lord Jesus dying on a cross, that we might have life filled with joy and purpose, and that we might have an eternal glory. We thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we are conscious of the many people who find it difficult to enjoy life because of suffering in their lives or in the lives of those whom they love. We seem to constantly hear of family and friends and acquaintances who fight diseases, who fight cancer or arthritis or some other painful afflictions. There are those, Lord, having surgery. There are those grieving a loss and those struggling with family or work-related problems. And as we think of these things, Lord, we each have names and faces popping into our minds. These, Lord, are your children. And we know, Lord, that you love them and you care for them. And so, Father, as we whisper their names in our hearts, we pray that you will touch them with your healing spirit and that they may know your peace. We pray in silence. We thank you, Holy Father, for our church family, and we ask your blessing upon every home represented here. We ask you, Lord, to bless those who are missing this day. May they feel, Lord, that your presence is with them. We ask you to bless each of us, Lord, as we go forward into a new week. And we pray, Father, in whatever circumstances and situations that we may find ourselves in, that we may be channels of your blessing as we seek honour and glory for the mighty name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, whom we serve and whom we worship and in whose name we pray. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The Old Testament reading is from Job 42, 1-6. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" And the gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 31. And the heading is, "Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to the sect, complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, Is it not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Thanks together for that reading from the scriptures. And now if you check your bulletin, you'll see the next item is the hymn, "Be Still My Soul." But it's most of us are not going to be singing. We are going to be able to sit back and listen to a few select members of the Reed family. I think Richard declined. Some of the Reed family are going to come up and they are going to present for us, Be Still My Soul. Thank you.
Okay, while we're gathering here, I'll just tell you a little bit about this. I came across this choral piece, this choral version of Be Still My Soul back in the summertime, and it was just so beautiful. I was anxious to present it to the congregation. So I've got my family together, and Janice came in at the piano, and I know it's a favorite of many people. It's got beautiful words, and it's got a beautiful message, and it's appropriate for today as well, because folks who are serving at the Mustard Seed and using the services of the Mustard Seed need that peace of God, need that still soul, and we can be thinking about those folks too as they reach out to God and reach out through the folks that serve at the Mustard Seed. So, Be Still My Soul.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Great job. And didn't Janice play beautifully as well? So well. That was great. And now it's exactly a year ago to this same Sunday, there was a fella came here from the Mustard Seed, a fella of the name of the Reverend Bill Nixon. And he enjoyed himself so much, and we enjoyed so much having him here, that we decided there and then that this was going to be each year our Mustard Seed Sunday. And I know Bill wrote it in his diary there and then, and he still had it in his diary when I contacted him, and he's here today. So we welcome from the Mustard Seed, Reverend Bill Nixon. Give him a go on, Nixon. That's your word.
I was pretty excited when I drove in the parking lot this morning to realize that revival had broken out in Cremona because the parking lot was full and clearly the service hadn't started yet. Apparently I was wrong. I want to apologize for that. First thing I got to do, because I actually had to make note of this in my BlackBerry, I am supposed to say hello to Alan and Lita. Now, is that right there? Lydia Nutt Brown, who's one of the young ladies I work with down at the Mustard Seed, she basically threatened me and said if I didn't get up and acknowledge you in front of the whole world, that she was going to give me a rough time. These are some of the most faithful folks in terms of the Mustard Seed, and there was a picnic last fall, and I wasn't at it, but they just came and they blessed so many people, and just your very presence blessed a lot of people's lives. And so thanks so much for all that you do for us. And now I can get Lydia off that list anyway, so that's good. There are so many things in this world that I don't know about you, but as I get older, I just don't understand. And I apologize again for being late this morning, but I got one of those phone calls. And I don't know if I told you last year or not. I preached so many places, I can't tell you what stories I told anybody anymore. But I was preaching last year a series on Luke chapter 7, which is a story about the centurion's faith in Christ to heal his Jewish servant. And it was amazing because I had to go preach this. And my friend Tim had just been diagnosed with this very rare form of leukemia that was incurable. And like 2 days before. So I get up to preach this message, and I had that kind of in my heart and was really struggling with this thing. And Tim went out, and he had to go through all the treatment last year, and he kept going to work through the treatment, and he blew out his back. And he had to have back surgery. So he's going through treatment for this cancer that you can't cure, and then he has to have emergency back surgery. And so they do the back surgery, and the next day they ran some blood work, and they came in and said, "Your cancer's gone." That's how they found out his cancer was healed, as he went in for the back surgery. I don't get that. But this morning, having been through all that they've been through, I got a phone call from my friend Tim and his wife, Wendy. And Wendy has been diagnosed with colon cancer. And I don't understand. Just don't get it. I mean, somewhere along the line you must go, these folks get a break for a little while, don't they? And they don't understand. But I know this. There's a God in heaven who absolutely understands. Say amen. It will help me out a lot today. There's a God in heaven who absolutely understands. And that's where faith comes in. I don't have to understand that. But as I was listening for the part of the service fortunately was part of, the common thing I kept hearing was this: how do we start to see what God sees, and how do we start to hear what God hears? And that's why you see that a lot, especially in the New Testament. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. They, It was a little funny. Last summer I went and I had a little bit of time off and I went up to our place at Glenifer Lake, and my wife has this vegetable thing that you plug in and it grows vegetables. Like, just water goes through it and it grows tomatoes and all this other stuff. And I got up there about 4 or 5 days, and somehow the power had all gone out just at our trailer, and so there was no water going through this. And there was not one thing on that thing you could call alive. I mean, the tomato plants were brutal. Everything's bad. The freezers, we have a freezer up there. It's 4 days without the freezer turned on. And so I immediately called my wife and said, honey, you know, it's like, it's all gone. I don't know how to tell you this. And somehow, of course, that's my fault. You know, anybody been married? So, I mean, these plants are dead. Not the kind of dead. This stuff looks like lettuce has been sitting in the crisper for months kind of dead, okay? You know when you clean out the crisper and you go, and we had this happen at work. They had 5 guys come and clean our fridge out at work, and we couldn't get rid of the smell. And so they were going to get a new fridge, and finally they discovered this little thing at the back of the crisper. It was that kind of dead. So I throw out all the bad meat, I clean out all the freezers, I get the power up and going, and I got the water pump going, and everything was going pretty good. And within a few hours, the peas started to pick up again. They look like peas. I'm going, maybe there's a little hope here. So I text my wife, peas are coming back. Next morning, the tomato plants, which are still alive now, look like they're going to pull through. They're making a comeback. And by late afternoon, the most useless vegetable in the world, Swiss chard, has made a complete recovery. I don't understand Swiss chard. But see, that's what Jesus does. Bible says he's the water of life. He's the water that will require us to never thirst again. And we're going to look at the story of this man very briefly this morning, Levi's life. And we're going to look at what Jesus does here. And we read this passage already, but I love this. I don't know about you, brother, but sometimes in the middle of preaching stuff and suddenly the lights go on. Does that happen to you? Okay. I hope it happens for our congregations on occasion. It says this, after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he, Levi, left, rose up, and he followed him. And I love that passage because I have for years and years told people we have to see people and see them as people if we're going to help people. And suddenly I'm reading through this passage because I was preaching through this summer, and I went, look what just happened. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. And then he said to him, follow me. Jesus saw him first. Isn't that awesome? See, here's the great secret to ministry. I know you're going to go, duh, at the end of this. You have to see people as people first. If you're going to help them. If you're going to make a difference in people's lives around you, you have to see the people that are around you. Jesus sees Levi, and then he says, follow me. And Levi gets up and he follows him. Get it? You have to see. Who in our lives right now could we possibly think of that we have, for whatever reason, we don't see them. And if we don't see them, we cannot possibly care for them. But Jesus does so much more than that here. He sees them and he calls them and he follows. Now, if you were a tax collector in that day and age, that was like the lottery ticket, okay? I mean, you were the wealthiest guy in that town. You had, and you had the entire Roman army standing behind you when you went, knocked on somebody's door and said, it's time to pay your taxes. There's 100 soldiers standing behind you. What are they going to do? They're going to pay somehow. This is one of the most despised people in that world. This isn't like, you know, anybody work for Revenue Canada here today? This is different. My sister-in-law works for Revenue Canada. This is different. But he He sees this man, this despised man that nobody wanted anything to do with. There was nobody from the Jewish faith that would have anything to do with this man, because this was a man who had turned his back on his own people and basically gone to work for the Roman government. He was a traitor. Even look at they referred to them as tax collectors and sinners. They're on the same list. And Jesus, as he's walking by, sees this man. And he calls this man. What did Jesus see? I think Jesus sees Matthew, the author of the first book of the New Testament, because that's who Levi becomes. That's what Jesus sees. I wonder what Jesus saw when he looked down and he saw me at 17 years of age and went, I'm gonna take that one. What did he see? There was nothing particularly, what was there? But somehow, see, God sees us differently. God, give us eyes to see, Lord, clearly what it is you see. Otherwise, we're just walking by people. I love to preach out of Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, it tells the story of Jesus' return to Cremona. Capernaum, Cremona, same thing. Could have a whole new slogan on the outside of town, the Capernaum of Alberta or something. And if you've ever been to Israel, like Capernaum is like this tiny little town. There's really nothing to it, even to this day. And there's like a main gate, and there's nothing. It's not big. But this is Jesus' hometown. And so it was all over the internet that Jesus was returning to Capernaum. No, not really. We Facebook everything now, so we have to, bring it into relevant culture, I guess. So people are Skyping this. Jesus is in town. They're all excited. And all the people that wanted to hang out with Jesus are so thrilled that they all go out to that house, and they're hanging out in the house. And we all know this story. I mean, there's a crowd gathered around. Jesus is in Capernaum. This is like the biggest thing that ever happened to Capernaum. Jesus returns home. And everybody's just crowded out the house. And these four fishermen are walking by the main gate. And they come along and they see this man who's a paralytic. And he's probably sitting at the main gate because that's where he has access to the most traffic. And he has no way to survive other than to ask people to give him money. I actually do this and I act it out with young people. And I go up to the youth pastor and I go, I want to know who the kid is that's on the bubble. And they always give me, some kid. And so I was doing this a few weeks ago and acting this scene out. And the kid's name was Josh. And I went, Josh, are you here? And this kid raises his hand and goes, yeah. And I said, come on up. And he's like, his greatest fear in life is somebody's going to know his name and call him to the front. And so I get him up to the front and I said, do you know why you're here? And he said, no. I said, well, you're going to in a minute or two. And I make him play out the part of the paralytic. And I make some other people come along and they take this young man and they take him over to the house and they try to get him in the front door, but they can't get him in the front door. Why can't they get him in the front door? Well, all the Christians are hanging out around Jesus. So they can't get him there. So they get him to the side and these kids are trying to drag him and they're dragging this poor Josh kid all over the church. And we can't put a hole in the church ceiling. Well, we could, but that would get us in trouble. So we have to sort of fake that, and we drop him down in front of Jesus. And I always like to pick the kid that's on the bubble for this reason. Because at one point, Jesus lays his hands on the young fellow that's acting out the part of the paralytic, and he says, rise and walk, be healed. And there's something significant that takes place in that young person's life, even though they don't know what's kind of going on to them. When they act out that role and Jesus lays his hands on this individual. And it says in that passage this amazing thing. And one of the things I tell people, if we're going to really understand Scripture, one of the first things we've got to do is slow down when we read, because we miss things. We miss things, like even in this passage in Luke where it says he saw him, then he called him. We're so focused on the fact he called him, we miss that line. He saw him, then he called him. But in that passage in Mark, Everybody has walked past the paralytic to go hang out with Jesus. Everybody in that town has walked past this man, except these four fishermen. And one of them, at least one of them, as they were walking past this fisherman, said, "Wait a minute. Who needs to go hang out with Jesus more than this guy?" And so they go back and they pick him up. And they can't get this person to Jesus because all the, you know, the church is all hanging out. They can't get him through the front door. They can't get, so they lower him down through the roof. And when they lower him down through the roof, Jesus lays his hands on this man and he says, "Their faith has healed you." Their faith. Whose faith? The four fishermen that picked up that man and went to all the trouble and dropped him through the roof were expressing a faith in Christ that allowed Jesus to touch that man and to heal that man and to save that man. Their faith. It does not say the paralytic's faith. He's probably just, "What is going on? Where are you people taking me?" You have to see people. You have to see people as people. And, you know, I pastored a long, long time. And often what happens in churches, if we're not careful, is we see people as potential congregation members. Or we see them as potential choir members. Or we see them as potential, you know, maybe they can help us run a Sunday school program. Or we see all these things. We have to see people as people first. And then we pray. And we ask God, by faith, to give us eyes to see what He sees. When Jesus comes along, and when He reaches down and does His thing, it's a God thing, really. He sees Levi, then He calls him. See, Jesus sees the author of the book of Matthew. Most of us would have walked by and seen the tax collector, Levi. Oh, dear Lord, give us eyes to see what you see. Oh, dear Lord, give us eyes to see what you see. I got in trouble yesterday. I know you're shocked. I live in a townhouse complex, and you pay your little fee every month, and somebody's supposed to come along and shovel all your sidewalks and do all that kind of stuff. Ha, that works out great. They hire this group of a company, and they send all these, you know, it's like me chasing 20 of my 17-year-olds around. And they just don't do a very good job. So it was like they come along and they did it. So I go over yesterday, because I don't know what was here, but we had about an inch and a half of snow. So I scraped off my mother's driveway for her, and because she just lives 7 or 8 units over from me, right? And I'm overdoing mine, and a guy comes over and he says, "You did a terrible job on my driveway. And I'm not happy about it. I want your name." And I'm looking at him like, "What?" And he says, "And I want you over there. Just quit. You need to go clean up that mess. You need to do it right now." So I grabbed my shovel and I went over and cleaned up the mess. Because I didn't want to get in trouble. And then I kindly pointed out to him after I was finished cleaning up the mess that I really only feel obligated to do my mother's driveway and my own as an owner here. But, you know, anytime I could be of help, that's great. Apparently I got dressed better on the weekends. I don't know. It was like... And that's not the first time that's happened to me. I was power washing last year and some guy wanted to know when I was coming over and do it his slot. I go, you know... But sometimes we just see the most obvious things. All he could see was a guy with a shovel, you know. He couldn't see, you know, the guy that actually owned the place. He just saw the guy. He saw a shovel, you know. And I had to go along with it at that point because it makes a far better story that I went and shoveled for him. Oh, dear Lord, give us eyes to see. Oh, dear Jesus, give us eyes to see and help us, Lord, to hear the voice of God so clearly that when we see a man or a woman or a young person, that we would respond. I have a new boss at the Mustard Seed. His name is Lyle. And every time you end up with a new boss anywhere, I don't know about you, but I get like, what's this guy? You don't know, right? Is this a good thing, bad? You don't know. I watched this man, and we'd been praying forever and ever, like, who's going to be the new, CEO of the Mustard Seed, and had an interim guy, and he was a good guy, but he wasn't what we needed, and along comes this Lyle guy, and I watched him just to see how he responded to people, because you can't do what I do every day and not, you have to be able to see these people, right? So here's Lyle, and he'd only been there about 3 weeks, and his wife was out playing in the playground with her grandson, and she collapsed and she fell. And so Lyle took her to the doctor, clinic, and the clinic doctor says, well, she strained her neck from falling down. She's going to have to rest. A couple days later, he comes home, and she's just laying there on the floor out cold. Rushes her to the hospital. Turns out she's had a brain bleed for 5 days. And the doctors say, there's nothing we can do. It's gone on too long. One of the foremost experts in the world in this is at the hospital, and he's just going, she makes it. And the day that Lyle got a phone call, he'd been at the hospital, he got a phone call from the hospital on a Thursday saying that this was the day his wife was going to pass away. And I watched as he pulled into the driveway down at the Mustard Seed, and there was a rather drunk individual sitting, blocking up his spot. And he moves, and Lyle goes up and talks to him. This is the day his wife is going to die, he's told. Goes up and he talks to this intoxicated man, and the man says, I'm wasting your time. He says, I'm just going to move on. And Lyle said to him, no. I want to hear what you have to say. And he took 15 minutes to talk to this man. On as brutal a day as you could possibly live on this earth, I would think, waiting for that phone call. Because he had to come in, and he's like, is he going to get back to the hospital in time? He saw a person. And it was that night, about 11 o'clock at night. It was like the Lord threw a switch, and Lyle's wife was fine. Completely healed. It was over. The crisis was over. He saw a person. And I'll tell you why this has become really important to me, because if I'm not very careful in the ministry, what happens is we get so focused on, I was off at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association talking last week, if we're not careful, what happens is it all becomes about, we're writing this report, or it's about this budget line, or it's about all these other things. Listen, folks, this is the key to any ministry. I don't care if you're in Cremona, I don't care if you're in Capernaum, I don't care where you are. This is the key to it all. Ministry. It's not about programs. It's about people. Always about people. So we should be praying every day, dear Lord, give us eyes to see the people that you've placed all around us, to reach out and care and be that light of the gospel in their lives, with no other agenda other than to love them and care for them so that they see that Jesus is real through your life. Don't you love that? Jesus walking along, tax collector, nobody wants anything to do with him. He sees him, then he calls him. Help us, Lord, to see people. Beyond the circumstances, beyond the phone calls like this morning, beyond all those things, help us by faith to just see the people that God would have us to just reach out, and we would just care. And I tell young people this all across this Western Canada. I speak in all kinds of different things to young people. You know, there is a call upon the church, call upon these individual youth and all of our lives to be world changers. And this is the secret to it all. You want to change the world? one person at a time. That's how you do it. Help us to see people. Thanks for listening to me this morning. I appreciate it.
We certainly appreciate Bill being here today, and we certainly appreciate his message. And we know that that's what the mustard seed is all about. It's seeing people, and it's caring for them and looking after them and giving them their basic needs and requirements. And the Lord Jesus will reach out and he'll touch them. Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We sing our closing hymns. First of all, hymn 337, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Saviour. To be God's people.
People.
Right following the service, everyone is invited to join us in our mustard seed style lunch. I have seen the soup, and it almost looks as good as the soup we used to serve at the mustard seed. Everybody's welcome. Everybody join in. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.